Hi guys, and welcome back to the 801 podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you listened to our last podcast, which was all about cons, this is going to be a little bit different. We actually did something similar to this at ACON last year, or a couple years ago. This time it's all about recommendations. So, Melissa, you want to tell us a little bit more about how we're going to be doing this episode?
Yeah, so we're going to start off with some recommendations, and then at the end we are going to talk a little bit more about conventions because we still have some coming up. But like Joe said, we did this as a panel last year at ACON, and kind of the idea behind it was that everybody has those BL titles, or not even BL, the pseudo BL, the shippy canon stuff from 10 years ago, that you kind of start with, and maybe you don't actually move past it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody wants to go super hardcore into BL. But we did notice that we have a lot of fans. We have a lot of people who kind of have those starter or basic bitch BL, to say, that you don't necessarily move past. So we wanted to give people recommendations based on that. So we're going to identify a couple of titles that have been really popular and, you know, help you kind of figure out maybe why you liked it, and then recommend titles based off of that. So maybe give you some more stuff for your reading list. And then we're also just going to give you some good recommendations based off what we've been reading recently. So this is going to cover everything from what some people call yaoi, to BL, to a little bit of bara, and some MM romance and some slash. So pretty much the full spectrum, because that's mostly what we talk about at our panels. So we're going to get started with BL. If anybody was ever alive in 2016, which, you know, thanks for surviving the year, you know that Yuri on Ice was a huge, huge hit in anime. And for a lot of people, there's kind of some debate about whether this was BL or not, and it's not BL. I mean, it was just an anime on TV. But it did introduce a lot of people to a realistic gay romance between the characters. But more so than it even being like a drama or a romance, it was a sports anime, a really good sports anime. I'm a bit biased here. So you might have watched it either for that romance or for the sports, for the figure skating. Or maybe you just were attracted to the fact that there's a really big cast. That's something we see a lot with sports anime, that the more characters you have, the more opportunities you have to ship. Even though with Victory being the main ship, it's kind of hard to, you know, deviate from that. But those are some of the reasons that maybe you fell in love with Yuri on Ice. So we'd like to recommend you a few things based off of that. Jokusei, which has also been pretty popular, was an anime that came out a few years ago. We were really lucky to be able to see it in theaters in Dallas. Which was kind of like just this really amazing event that, oh, there was BL as a movie in a theater. And it's one of those that has that kind of like budding first romance that you see in Yuri on Ice. The characters may or may not be telling you they're gay, but you can kind of get those hints. It's just really like a sweet, innocent romance. So I definitely recommend it. Which Dokusei, the manga, actually has recently been announced for license. I don't remember who licensed it actually, but you'll be able to get that in print pretty soon. And then the anime is out, so you can buy that from Aniplex.
And the English title of that is Classmates.
Yes, some people I've seen doing that.
And June has the PDF version, which I bought because I was desperate.
Yes. I think it was Seven Seas who's announced that they got the print version, which... The next one we're going to recommend also recently got announced, which is great, especially if you loved Yuri on Ice, you'll be able to get both of these things, is Ten Dance. It's a ballroom manga, but it's not Welcome to the Ballroom. It's much, much better than that. So the whole idea behind this is you have a classical ballroom, like a waltz type dance that one character does, and the other character is trained in Latin dance. But to dance the Ten Dance, which is a competition, you have to dance all of the different forms of dance together in a competition. So they kind of team up because they want to do the Ten Dance. And so you kind of see this, you know, again, a budding romance. This one is good because, like Yuri on Ice, they're mature adults. So it's not the same flavor that you get from all the BL where they're in high school, and it's kind of like that type of first love. This is a lot sultrier. It's a lot sexier, especially because some of the dance there have to be incredibly close because of the athleticism, the exercises, all that kind of stuff. So there's some of that like forced like physicality, in the sense that they're in the same physical space really close together because of the dance, which makes it just all the more like hotter, especially because they're like, you know, really good looking guys. So I really, really recommend Ten Dance as a manga. And it's not actually, like, running in a BL magazine right now, I think. I think it moved. So it's really a slow burn. So if you're not looking for something that's going to be overly sexual, this is a really good one to kind of dip your toes into the BL waters.
You mentioned that it's sexier because they're closer together, but I would like to point out that Chris had no partner, and he still managed to finish all by himself.
That he did finish.
So
yes.
Yeah. Another thing about Ten Dance is this is by Sato Inoue, and like a lot of her works, it's sort of a seme-seme story. Who's going to be the bottom? No one knows.
So inspired Latin temper.
Yes.
So if you like Junjo Romantica, which most BL fans will have read and or watched, you probably know a lot about it, may have watched it or read it multiple times. It's very tropey. It stays true to all the sort of BL content, where BL came from. It stays true to its roots. It's also kind of a romantic comedy. There's a lot of comedy in it, a lot of humor in it. And then there's a lot of side stories and alternate pairings, so there's kind of something for everybody. If you don't like big... I mean, they all have an age gap, but there's, like, varying degrees of age gap. So if you do like an age gap, oh boy, there's an age gap. And if you don't like an age gap, there's a little less of an age gap. So there's a lot to like there. Some problematic things, but... especially if you started when you were younger liking it, and, you know, looking back now, like, I don't think I would have gotten into it because of some of the... non-consensual stuff that happens, but I mean, I started out liking it. It's gotten better as it's gone on, so I still like it, and I still buy the magazine from Japan every 3 months.
Junjo was one of those that at the time period it came out was kind of like right on the cusp of like us getting a lot more anime made. Mm-hmm. So for its time, I think that like there's just more exposure for BL of a certain, or Fujoshi of a certain generation because of when it came out, whereas now
Fujoshi
you have
a certain age, like,
you know. Yeah, you have more options now. It's not that we like
vintage.
It because we didn't have options, but
vintage
Junjo is one of those you have to view in the contract for when it was made.
Yeah, and it's got lots of volumes in print in English, and it's also got 3 seasons of the anime, which you can watch in English. So it's, if you really like anime or really like manga, you can get both of those things. So if you like Junjo Romantica, another one, which I think a lot of people have seen by now, but in case you haven't, is Love Stage. It also has some tropiness to it. It's got sort of a side couple that you'd have to read the manga more, I think, to know about. But it's got a lot of those same kind of typical BL tropes in it and comedy that really is reminiscent of Junjo Romantica. Another one is Katekyo, Private Teacher. This is a manga. Oh, Love Stage, you know, had a manga and an anime. This is just a manga. It has 4 volumes, I believe, and it's printed in English as well. It is pretty funny. There's a lot of humor in it. It's got the age gap factor that Junjo Romantica had, but it's just kind of a 2 kind of dumb characters getting together. And pretty tropey, but not as problematic. So that's a nice one too.
It's got, whereas Junjo is sometimes more like PG-13, Private Teacher is very much like 18 plus. So if you want to kind of like graduate from Junjo,
that's true.
This is a really good one. The art's really pretty too. So
yeah, and it's called Private Teacher, but he's a tutor, not an actual like.
Yeah, he's an at-home tutor.
So there's no like power imbalance. So.
True. Yeah.
Gotta rectify it for you. Ten Count, which kind of exploded a couple of years ago and is still going strong, even though it recently ended in Japan. Volume 6 will be coming out hopefully soon in the U.S. It's from Sublime, and it also recently got announced that it was getting an anime. They're getting figures, which you can look at on Twitter. They're very, very, very attractive. So Ten Count has definitely been one of the more popular series as of late. So you might have kind of fallen in love with it because it has that medical theme. For some people, that's kind of a draw. For some people, that's more of a detractor, that it's a guy who's suffering from, you know, an illness and the... you know, clinical, like, psychologist who's going to try to help him with that. But the author has actually said that she wrote that kind of in a way for using a lot of the S&M dynamics. And it has a lot of a slow burn to it in the first couple of volumes until, you know, probably the first, like, 2 to 3 volumes, you're not sure where the romance is going, and then all of a sudden it, like, kicks in. And it's an overdrive for the last 2. the last volume specifically, there's just, like, a ton of a lot of sex scenes. And when it was updating in Japan, the author was going through a little bit of an illness. So sometimes the updates would be like 3 pages, but they would be just straight up like one segment of a sex scene. And it was very odd, but you know, you accepted it and you liked it. So you probably have seen some of the art around. I mean, we saw it recently on a BL like Ahigao shirt, and I was like, oh, I know who that is. So that's one of the reasons that a lot of people like it. So if you really like 10 Count, I would definitely recommend I've Seen It All, based on the medical aspects. This one, it's not as well known, even though it has been published in English by Junae, but it's a penis doctor, and this guy that he meets kind of just like happenstance, who he's not a patient, so there's none of that doctor-patient like weirdness going on. But it's just funny because the doctor has been on the search for the perfect penis, and just that whole setup is a little bit laughable, but it makes it for a really cute romance. And it does have really good sex scenes. It's a different art style than 10 Count, but I definitely recommend it based on that.
And by the way, a penis doctor would otherwise be known as a urologist. is the term you were looking for.
Well,
yes, but he is all about the penis.
Yeah, oh, because God. This is the clinic that he works at specifically treats like penile problems. It's a male focused clinic. He's not dealing with like women's urinary problems.
So when he says he's seen it all, it's really just like the cock and the balls.
That's
all
true.
He's really seen.
Or he's seen all of the penises in the world, and he
all
could not find the perfect one until now.
And all the penises that come to see him are, you know, diseased or, you know, malformed in some way. They're not perfect like the one he's looking
this
for.
This is a real Cinderella story.
Yes. So also if you liked 10 Count, specifically maybe because you liked the really, really hot sex scenes, I recommend Don't Be Cruel or Hidoka Shinaide. This one, the first volume, you really kind of have to, like, it takes a while to get into it because it is very, very, very tropey up front, but I promise you it gets better. The characters recognize the problems that they had with those first couple of chapters. It just really kind of transforms the stuff itself as a story. The characters grow. It does start out with them in high school, but they end up in college, so for anybody who's concerned about that, they get to be older. And the characters, the art, everything gets better the longer this keeps going, and it's by Yonezo Nekota, who did Electile Delusion. So a pretty popular author in Japan, who is not as published in the US, but you can get Don't Be Cruel in English. It's from Sublime, so I definitely recommend it.
Lots of tidy whities.
Yeah, and it's one of the few that I have to read like every month when it comes out. It's that good. Some of you may be familiar with a little-known comic called Killing Stalking. you know, teasing aside, this one, kind of like, it was weird because Yuri on Ice, you know, blew up in the fall of 2016, and then fandom suddenly seemed to shift from Yuri on Ice to Killing Stalking, and none of those things go together, but somehow it did. I don't know. So migratory fandom, they go wherever. It's weird. But Killing Stalking, for whatever reason, really grabbed people's attention. I did read it. It was one of those that people were recommending it to me. Like, have you heard of this? So I checked it out. And I'm known to have, like, slightly darker taste, so it didn't, like, shock me as much as I think as it did for some people. But you probably did like it because of that psychological drama, or the bad romance, the gore and the horror aspect. There is something about darker BL or romances that are just, you know, not healthy that we are attracted to, and it's perfectly fine to be attracted to them, to want to read them. We will say up and down that liking problematic content is okay, and it doesn't mean that you have to like it in real life. I mean, certainly all the things that happen in Killing Stalking, I never want them to happen to me. I never want them to happen to anybody I know or anybody that ever exists. Like, this should never happen to somebody. These are terrible things. These are terrible people. But it's engaging and interesting to see that kind of story play out, like I might watch a murder show on TV. And I have, like, I really do enjoy watching stuff like CSI or SVU, or reading, you know, those kinds of darker books. So this one, to me, kind of fell into that same vein.
And it's not a BL, and it's really not a romance either, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. if you like that, we have some BL or romance titles to suggest to you.
Yeah, so the one that I always go back to when people talk about Killing Stalking, because I feel like this one is not as well known, it is a an English work. It's In These Words, done by Guilt Pleasure, who you might know. They go to conventions sometimes. They're a little bit of a doujinshi circle. And it's very similar to Killing Stalking in the sense that it has that kind of, you know, it has the bad romance, but it has the crime aspect. So in these words, you've got a character who is like a criminal psychologist who is trying to solve this crime, trying to solve a serial rape case. And what you don't really, what he doesn't really realize, and you kind of come to find out, is that he was one of the victims. And that's not really a huge spoiler, because it kind of comes out in the first couple of volumes. There's like nuances to the story. It's interesting because there's differences in the time and the, like, I guess the way that the author and the artist kind of manipulate the timeline of everything. It's like sometimes things you'll learn in reverse or whatever. So it's a very interesting way that they've laid it out too, and it's gorgeous. And if you like characters who are definitely like adult men and look like kind of more of a Western aesthetic adult men, this is a really good one. They're not the like super skinny, like big-eyed bishies that you see sometimes in BL. So I really recommend In These Words. And then Sakuragari is another recommendation. This is not for the faint of heart. So if you were attracted to Killing Stalking because of all of the gore and the really, really, really like fucked up stuff, you're going to love Sakuragari. And again, I say this is not for the faint of heart. This is from Yu Watase, who is a beloved shoujo manga artist who did Fushigi Yugi, series Celestial Legend. This was her foray into BL proper, even though it didn't really run in a BL magazine. And this is one case in which I will say there are trigger warnings for rape, incest, gore, suicide. So if that turned you off, perfectly fine. If that made you want to read it, I'll just say go read it. It's not licensed. You're never going to get this one licensed.
Nope.
Yeah, it's definitely like just book a Friday night, have the tissues ready, and dive in.
Yeah. One adjective that's been used to describe this is as is grief porn.
Yes. Yes. So we'll move along from that too.
How about Dramatical Murder? Dramatical Murder is not as new anymore, but it got a lot of people hooked on it pretty quickly. It was a visual novel type game by Nitro Plus Chiral, who've released several other BL visual novel games, though this one is probably the most accessible, I think. But certainly it's kind of brought a whole generation of people into the visual novel genre. It is interesting because it has several different roots and endings, like visual novels do, that are all very different and fun to go through. It has an engaging storyline. There's action, mystery, science fiction. There's really something for everyone in that aspect. And also the uke is a total slut. and the simes are all very different people, or non-people. And so you really can find a favorite character in this for sure. They're all very different. If you like Dramatical Murder, or like me, you watch videos on YouTube of Dramatical Murder and want to see more or even play more, this next one, No Thank You, is another visual novel which you can buy and play via Manga Gamer in English. It's developed by Parade. I guess there's no trigger warnings for this one.
It's
gets kind of... Yeah, violent and dark.
Yeah, because the mafia is after him. So.
Yes, yeah, and but it also has, you know, a range of... There's, like, almost no women in this cast, just like Dramatical Murder, which is, you know, always great. All the other characters that you could end up with are pretty different as well. Very different, in fact. So in the same vein as Dramatical Murder, you could like that a lot. There's no sci-fi, really. Right? There's really no sci-fi. But there is drama and action and some romance. And there are muscly dudes.
And something that Dramatical Murder doesn't have is switching.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, Alba is always the uge in Dramatical Murder. But in this one, it's not always set. So that's nice. Also, you can pick how hairy the characters are in the beginning.
No, thank you.
Another thing with the visual novels is they're actually got licenses to publish the rest of Nitro.
Oh yeah,
yes, that's true. One of the big announcements out of AX. So
yeah, that's true. Yes,
was it Lamento and
Sweet Pool?
Sweet Pool.
and Taganochi.
Togainunochi, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, several of the Nitro Plus Caro ones got anime, like, series, and they took the gay right out of them.
Yeah.
Which is just a shame.
Well, the OVA for Dramatica Murder
okay,
was...
let's not go there. That's just the bad endings.
That's true.
They left it in there, but no one...
yeah.
So, yeah. But on a little bit of a lighter title, this is a manga that I do not understand why it hasn't been licensed and printed in English, because it's one of my favorites. Honto Yaju by Kotetsuko Yamamoto. It is great because it has a slutty, sassy Uke who is truly, you know, in love with his seme, and they have sex kind of a lot. If you listen to the drama CD, quite a lot. if you read the book, it sometimes kind of fades to black. But... he is a, you know, the Uke in particular is a very empowered kind of power bottom even. And so he stands up for himself, kind of like Aoba does. And then another reason that it's kind of like the other two is because it's a policeman and mafia, yakuza kind of story. So there's some crime elements to it, but this one is a really lighthearted, more humorous take on the police and yakuza, and it's not dark at all. It's kind of a comedy of errors sometimes, but it's really cute and funny.
I saw someone tweet, like, I don't want to live in a world where Yaritin gets an anime but Honto Yaju doesn't, and I'm like, well, why not both?
That's true.
I really want an anime, particularly because Aki the Uke wears terrible, awful, like, suits all the time. They're like always referred to as neon colors, and he has, like, terrible fashion sense, and so I really just want to see those brought to life.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of police, you know, stories or BL that I've had in anime, while Banana Fish is not BL because of the 1980s and the fact that there weren't BL magazines, which we will be getting into a little bit, we kind of wanted to give some recommendations based on that because we've all been watching it. Not all of us have actually read the manga, but by watching the anime, you know, and having known kind of the history of the manga, we can kind of see the impact that it had to have had on BL as a genre, just because of the type of story that it is. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to a few people to talk. Mary, you're familiar with Banana Fish a little bit more probably than I am for the manga.
Yes, I was reading a long time. So people can guess how old I am. but the Banana Fish itself was impacted to that the not it was beyond the shoujo manga. It's so that the it was the manga the man can read. That's what it, people say. And what she writes usually it's more like American literature base. So it was easy to read. And so that's why it wasn't BL, but she was heavily, of course, influenced by the 24-9ers. So they, at that time, the Hagiomoto was actually that the writing that the marginal, that's the another kind of sci-fi BL. It was like it was only the it was the story about the only man lives in the planet. So and then New York came kind of in the opera.
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was quite dramatic period at that time, so that the Banana Fish was a pioneer at the time.
Yeah, and I think if you look at a character like Ash, to me, it was straight out of, like, Keiko Takamiya. It was very much Song of the Winded Trees, if you ever read that. The tragic blonde character, that archetype is straight out from that manga. And you see it in Banana Fish, you see it again and again. You're going to see it in some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So
I'm just going to pull up my soapbox for a quick sec and say, just because Banana Fish isn't categorized as a BL doesn't mean that Fujoshi can't like it. I mean, it's not, they're not actually together, is the thing. It's homoerotic.
I'm gonna hold out yet. I have not read the manga.
Are we back on this being on separate size issue? This time I'm going to win. I know it. I can feel it.
I don't know. But see, we've already had a kiss in episode 3, which means by the BL laws, by the time we get to episode, I think
this is a
6 or 7, they're going to get married. Like,
Cho argues that Victor and Yuri were not going to end up together. It's going to be Fujo baiting. And she was wrong.
Yeah. History was not lying to me. But this time.
You were not a history maker.
I'm not a history maker, but this time I feel it, all right? It's just straight. It's like, Akimi, she's only did, like, Shoujo and Jose. Like stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think they
it doesn't mean you can't have that one work. Had Kubo-sensei done anything like Yuri and Ice before it came out? No, there was no evidence that that greatness lay within her. There was nothing. Like, she was a great manga artist, but nothing told us that, like, every dream I've ever had about BL is going to come true by episode 10.
But she does like Hajime no Ippo, and that is in our yaoi hell.
She's also liking Banana Fish. She's also liking Banana Fish. So I'm just saying that some of these things, like, I just really feel... Now, I don't know if it's going to end well. Nothing says that they can't get together and then all die.
I mean,
honestly,
when has a story with gay people
it's
set in prison ever not ended great? You know.
Speaking of that,
hey, so if you like Banana Fish, there's another not like super classic. It came out a little before I actually got into yaoi, but and it was big when I was back in high school. But Underground Hotel. It is actually a manga. You can buy it, but you're going to have to pay an arm and a leg to find it because they don't print it anymore, and it's not very popular with a lot of people because of some of the very famous rape scenes and some very, very violent, tragic, toxic relationships. But I do enjoy it. I enjoy it because of the bad, awful romance that I love and crave sometimes. So it was... If you like Banana Fish, you might like this. It's set in a prison. It's two inmates. One's the boss of the prison, and one's, of course, his bitch. So if you like that kind of dynamic, the crime dynamic, there's some drugs involved. There's some shady dealings in the prison boss. I mean, if you like that kind of dynamic in Banana Fish, you can kind of see that with the gangs and the violence and the mafia. If you like that, you're going to like Underground Hotel, and I suggest you could probably read it. If you can't find it on, like, in print, which you probably can't because it's pretty difficult, you can definitely find it on the sites and online.
I read Underground Hotel around the same time I was watching Oz, which is on HBO, and it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
People loved Oz. Oz got a GLAAD award, now that I remember.
Underground Hotel will never get
no,
more.
We yeah,
were pretty starved for representation back then.
Yeah. The times were different.
Yeah, times are very different.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think Underground Hotel, like, I just can already see the Tumblr comment somebody would have about it nowadays.
Oh,
yeah.
It's up there with Killing, Stalking, and Violence.
Yeah.
Is this
set
in America?
Yes.
Yes.
The
prison
is actually in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of these, in the vein of very tragic gay love stories set in New York. Banana Fish, Underground Hotel, New York.
Yeah.
Yes. The
was it
Violence
Partners?
And
Partners was also in New York?
I don't really remember. Fake's also
Fakes.
New York.
Yeah,
it's not,
Fakes
it's not,
in
it's
New York.
It's not tragic, but the bad, you know, illegal activity and homosexuality absolutely is not in Japan. It is in New York, you guys.
Of course.
Yes.
It's not even
very
in the
dangerous
US.
Place.
I would
very
say
dangerous place.
One thing about Underground that's kind of different and kind of makes it stand out is one of the main leads is actually African American.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you don't see very often in BL. So that is might be another reason you might look into it is if you like violence and you like non-traditional BL characters. There you go.
Yes.
But you might not like what he's doing in it.
No, you might not like that.
Yeah. And I'll also recommend, which it's a pretty popular one right now, Twittering Birds Never Fly, otherwise known as Counting Pigeons Never Flutter, in bad Amazon translations. But it's one of these darker ones. It's got the Yakuza. We don't know if it's going to end well or not yet, but the first kind of part of the manga, really, the chunk is that you have this, like, Yakuza boss who is very slutty, very, like, Hanto Yaju kind of esque in that sense. And he definitely sleeps around, but he falls in love kind of with his bodyguard, who has the tragic condition of not being able to get it up. And so it's kind of that struggle.
I was going to say, we can tie it back to I've Seen It All, because he also needs to see a penis.
Yes. All of these are interconnected. There's so many themes. It's nothing in BL is original.
And a lot of characters in Twittering Birds Never Fly, Sizer, Tori, Habatakanai, have been in prison also. So, you know, it just all ties mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, they've lost a couple of fingers, too. It's all very beneficial.
Lost fingers, gotten yeah. purling, which is apparently some Japanese Yakuza tradition.
Oh, yes.
I'll let you Google that one.
The title of this episode has to be something with prison. No.
Yes. It's Yaoi is the New Black.
Oh, oh gosh.
All right, so we're going to move on from all this prison talk, and we're going to
yeah.
move into...
Yeah, especially because Banana Fish only had, like, 2 episodes that were sent into prison. And the rest of
yes.
it is not going to be in prison.
Well, thankfully
soon.
He's gotten out, because it was getting a little uncomfortable.
It really
was. Yeah, a little
yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, moving on. We're going to talk about Bara for just a brief second, because that's about the limit of what we can talk about Bara.
Well, some of us like Bara. It's just none of us are very well-versed in it, because our Bara guy is sadly no longer with us.
Yes.
She's not dead.
They moved.
She's
yeah. Both of our Bara experts left us.
Yeah. So, Gengoro Tagame is probably the Bara manga artist that everybody's familiar with. You've at least seen the drawings. So, for some people, it's a refreshing change for Bishonen. There's a lot of non-heteronormative portrayals of gay men because Bara, contrasted against BL, is the genre drawn by gay men for gay men. And Bara has a lot more kink than you find in standard BL. So that is a draw, again, for some people. So we would recommend, based off of that, to read a different type of Tagame. We would recommend My Brother's Husband, which is good if you want to get that flavor of, oh, this is a different approach to a gay romance, or just show portrayals of LGBT characters than BL can offer. This is not necessarily Bara in the sexual sense, but it is drawn by a Bara manga artist.
Yeah.
My Brother's Husband, it's licensed in English, I think,
mm-hmm.
So you can buy it online. And they did make a TV show, which has not been licensed in English, but there's just a couple of different ways you can read it. I myself have not read it, but I definitely have heard. You read it?
It is. It deals with, because one of them is from America, so it deals with both, like, the multicultural aspect of homophobia and how things are different. It's basically told from the younger sister's eyes, and it's really, really sweet. But it is not a gay comedy at all, so
mm-hmm.
keep that in mind. But if you do want, I do will say, if you do want, like, classic Tagame that's actually a gay comedy, and you can get it in English, Creation Cow, which is a guy gets fucked by a centaur, and you can buy that on Massive Goods. And it's not great.
Yeah. I guess, speaking of mythical beings, we also recommend Priapus, which is a manga by Mentaiko Ito. It's very, very explicit, as I can attest, having once opened the middle of the volume to a giant gay komi penis. I was scarred for life. Yes. We have interesting meets, y'all. But I mean, this is definitely one of those that, like, if you're not into the super gay comedy, the super, super muscular, this one has a little bit more of that, like, I guess, kind of BL flavor to it. I find it's very approachable for people who are just kind of dipping their toes into the Bara waters. But if you want a different flavor of gay comedy, then Tagame, definitely recommend Priapus. And I definitely, based on the title alone, you can kind of tell where the story's going.
Yes, Priapus is the Greek god of erections.
So now we're going to talk about Slash.
All right, now we're going to go to our first Slash title. A lot of people have read Starfighter. Starfighter is a webcomic hosted by Hamlet Machine. It got very popular. I feel like a lot of people actually know this. If they don't know a lot of webcomics, they definitely know Starfighter
mm-hmm.
out of all of them. If you haven't, get online and just Google it. It's great. Why people tend to like Starfighter is it's got a lot of hot sex scenes. It really does. They fully show the dick, unlike in Yaoi. It's just out there, ready to go. And it's also got a sci-fi military theme, men in uniforms. It's, you know, bro kind of, like, camaraderie between military people. It's great. And it's also got a lot of plot twists. There's stuff going on behind the scenes. You don't know what's going on. You're trying to figure it out. And it's got depth to it, not just the hot sex scenes. Although that's pretty important.
Yeah, recently it's just been, like, I can't even, like, read it. It's so good right now.
Yes, and it's not even involving sex right now. It's just awful and scary, and I don't know what's going to happen. So.
They'll have sex at some point.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got to So if you like Starfighter, another good one to read is a new one. It's actually pay per page, but you get like 8 pages for it. It's called Born Sexy Tomorrow. It involves a space fighter theme. He's kind of a rogue, and he's taking care of this cyborg boy-like character. He's not actually a boy, but he just woke up, so he doesn't know much about the world. And he doesn't even know he's really a cyborg, so that's fun for the guy who's just like, oh god, what do I do with this kid? Gets in trouble, space drama. It's got a lot of the space themes, and it's got a lot of laser fights and stuff like that that's involved. It is pay per page, which there's a page that comes out every week. It's a couple cents per page. But it's really great. It's beautiful art. She gives you about 8 pages per time that she updates, and you only have to pay once to get all 8 pages updated. It's got a lot of the drama that you're looking for with Starfighter. Another one that I would suggest, that's another webcomic, that if you like Starfighter, you might like this webcomic, is Avalier. Avalier is by Lucid. It's pretty popular. Some people may have seen it already. Some people may actually know what it's about. It doesn't have the space drama, but it has a lot of mystery about it, where you don't really know where he's from or what's going on. He starts growing wings one day, and he doesn't know why. He's trying to bind them down. He's trying to hide them. But eventually, he's going to have to figure out where he comes from and what's going on. And his next-door neighbor is helping him through this. How wonderful. But if you like the hot sex scenes, that's really what you get with Lucid. Lucid really... they're wonderful. She does her own doujins sometimes that are just fantastic. And the bodies are really muscular. They're really great. There's some piercings involved. So really great hot sex scenes. You're looking at Evalier.
All right. And now we're moving on to, if you like this show, you may like this actually gay show. And probably one of the most gayest non-gay shows out there is Supernatural. It's coming on 14 long seasons. It was created by Eric Kripke. If you're a Supernatural fan, you may like it because of the supernatural, but or science fiction, fantasy aspects of it, because it deals with lore and like popular like urban legends and things like that. And of course, the shippy subtext, not just between Dean and the Angel, but also between the brothers themselves, to the point where it's been referenced in the show many times. And also the interpersonal drama interwoven with the action. So you get a lot of man pain and manly tears, along with your classic cars and your fight scenes. So if you are a Supernatural fan, you may like to try Sense8, which was created by Lana Wachowski, which is one of the twins who made The Matrix. For triggers for Sense8, you should be aware that there is some violence, talk of sexual assault, misogyny, and transphobia, some suicide ideation. Sense8 is, sadly, it got canceled on Netflix. They did allow them to wrap it up with a finale, thankfully, this year, but you can still watch it. I still implore you to watch it. It's got the science fiction elements. There's poly relationships. There's a bunch of different characters, so it's not just your run-of-the-mill attractive white guys. You get a whole host of characters to put together in lovely queer relationships, and it's just beautiful, and I'm so mad at Netflix for canceling it, but it is what it is. And another very slashy subject that people are very into right now is superheroes, specifically of the DC and Marvel universes. The reason you like it is because of the sci-fi and action. There's themes of outcasts, so they're superheroes. They're being shunned from society. There's like a found family aspect. The expanding universe means that there's a lot of different characters with a lot of different looks that you can mix and match, though I've found that people usually like to stick to their core ships, but it's still nice to think, you know.
And alternate universes and storylines.
There you go. There's a bunch of different
You don't like how it ended? Try this version.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a whole version where Tony ends up with a female version of Captain America. Oh, no, sorry. Well, Captain America ends up with a female version of Tony. If you don't like that, then you can just read another version where he's dead.
Or they'll just make a new movie for it, and, like, they'll redo it in 3 years or something.
There
like
you
that.
Go.
Just give it time.
Yeah. If you don't like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, I'm sure they'll be released in a lot shortly.
I mean, heck, if you didn't like Terrence Howard as Rhodey, they changed him to Don Cheadle in the movies. So.
Let's not talk about how he's Spider-Mans there are.
Yeah.
Too many Spider-Mans.
What am I going to do with all these Spider-Mans?
Right. If you like superheroes in the world of graphic novels and expanded universes, I would try Captara, which is by Chip Zdarsky and Keegan McLeod. Captara is about a guy who gets stranded in space. It's very complex. There's a lot of different elements, but what it basically boils down to is sad gay kid in the middle of space angsting. And it's a really lovely. It's funny. It's got some existential angst. There really aren't any, like, content warnings to be aware of. It's by Image Comics, so it's not by one of the big two, DC or Marvel. But I believe it's still ongoing. I would pick it up. It's relatively cheap. The last time I checked, you can get it for about $5 for the digital copy. Seriously, read Captara. It's so good.
Does he get out of space?
No. Spoiler alert. Next is The Wicked and the Divine, which is probably one you've heard of. It's by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. The Wicked and the Divine is about a bunch of super-powered teenagers and young adults who are gay and also sad, but they're not in space. there's a lot of action in it, and both the superhero aspect and supernatural, there's a lot of interpersonal drama that goes along with the story. It's also by Image Comics. So, again, it's not an indie publisher, because Image Comics isn't indie, but a smaller one. So if you're looking for something that's actually gay and won't put money into Stan Lee's pockets, go with The Wicked and Divine and other Image Comics. We're moving on to MM romance, or gay romance novels.
Several of us have been getting more into this lately.
Yes,
especially
thankfully.
To Captive Prince, which is a really beautiful MM romance novel by C.S. Bacot. You would probably like it if you like the Sime Uke kind of archetypes. They sort of stay a little bit true to the sort of typical, like, body type, I guess, of a Sime and Uke. But there's a big power dynamic in the Uke's favor in this one. So if you like a big difference in power, you might like that a lot, especially in the Uke's favor. It also is kind of a historical fantasy, kind of.
I would say it's closer to high fantasy.
Yeah, closer to high fantasy. I mean,
without the dragons,
there's no unicorns and dragons or magic, but it's like set in like Canterbury Tales times. I mean, it's set a long time ago in not France and not Greece. But it's got the castles and the nobility aspects that you might like if you read like historical fiction from like old European type things. So if you like Captive Prince, of which there are three novels and three audiobooks. I have read the novels
and
I have listened to the audiobooks.
Three short stories now.
Three or four short stories, yeah,
yeah.
And I would recommend doing all of that. It was really great to hear. But if you like that, you might want to try out A Fashionable Indulgence.
Yes, and I've actually gotten a couple of people to read this now. And
Yes.
I've dragged them down the same train as I went. if you like the sort of uppity style of the Varetians, if you like that high fantasy kind of, or that classic kind of stuck-up sound that Laurent always has, like, he always is ready to go, acceptable.
a little bit sassy.
If you want that in your uke, this is a great choice for you. It's got a lot of that kind of dynamic. There's not a power imbalance so much. There's a small one in favor of the uke, but not a huge one. There's a tragic uke backstory. So if you like Laurent being horror of a past story, you know, you get a good horrific past story in this. And you get like a puppy dog Sime as well. So it's kind of perfect, the first novel. Now the next two novels involve two other characters, but it continues the storyline. So if the first one is more like what you would get in Captive Prince. But if you enjoyed the first one, go ahead and read the other two.
And I think the writing on this is better than some of the other ones that I've read. And I've actually been listening to these as audiobooks on my drive to work and sometimes at work, too. there was a scare one time, but not with this book. But I think the narration on this one is very good as well. Maybe as I liked Captive Prince's audio narration, and this one is also really good.
Yeah, if you haven't read some of these as audio, like if you read the I guess the novel or like the ebook, and then it is a different experience to listen to it on audiobook. So
yes.
It's kind of like getting to, I guess, discover it twice.
And this is a very good audiobook to listen to. The next one I would say is Brute by Kim Fielding. However, it is a tragic blonde uke again.
Exactly my type.
It is a very sweet, consensual relationship. There is a power imbalance, but it's for the semi as opposed to the uke in this sense. But I would say that it is a similarity in that, but there's less of a similarity in the fact that there's not so much of this intrigue or power play that you get between, like, the governments. There isn't a lot of intrigue in this story as opposed to the intrigue and political intrigue of Captive Prince and Unfashionable Indulgence. This is more just a prisoner and his prison keeper sort of coming to a relationship together. And it's a very sweet story. I really like it. So if you like sweet, eventually consensual stories, this one is all consensual, but Captive Prince, it gets there. It's a very good story too.
Yeah. I would argue it's almost too sweet, where
yes.
you know, a lot of stories, like the way the story map goes is, you know, the characters go through suffering to get to a happy ending. They didn't suffer enough, in my opinion, in this book. I mean, they had to go through almost no suffering. I mean,
things tend to work out for this couple.
For what the ending was. Because they start out having suffered in their life, and they don't have to suffer much more in the book.
Yeah, so, they just heal from their suffering in the story. We don't get to participate in the suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a place for no suffering.
There is.
That's my review. Not enough suffering.
it was almost too sweet, I think.
So that wraps up the recommendations we had based off of, you know, what you might already have come encounter with. We're going to do just a quick recommendations based off of what we've been reading recently. So I'll start it out. Confession time. I have at times been on the record as not liking Omegaverse. And I am on mic now saying I have slightly changed my tune in that I actually have read some Omegaverse BL manga that I like. So I recently started reading this stuff by Kusakabe Kari, and it's a lot of, like, office BL, so it has those dynamics of, like, oh, he's an Omega, how is he actually working? Like, how is he so successful? And it does have a very slutty uke. So that's one of the things that I was definitely... I could get over my fear of Omegaverse, because I'll be honest, it was a fear. It is not like I thought it was, so... Those are my recommendations to check out her BL work. I will definitely be reading more of her BL. I see that she has a Yakuza story. I don't know if she continues to write Omegaverse, but her Omegaverse stuff is definitely worth it.
I'm glad you've come to the light.
I don't know if it's the light or if it's just an oncoming train.
Wait, I don't see you moving.
The first Omegaverse I read was for our manga research project last year. And I really haven't sought out a whole lot since then, unless they've come highly recommended by people that I usually trust the recommendations of. But yeah, it's an interesting, you know, kind of new dynamic to consider.
Did you get saddled with Romantic JoJo?
I did read Romantic JoJo. Yeah. And then recently I follow someone on Facebook that just, I don't know how, is sort of the bringer of good yaoi news a lot of times, and especially for scanlations that have started, and one of them is Kashikomori Mashita Destiny and Kashikomori Destiny Answer.
Yeah, I had to read that for the... That was actually my first foray into having to read, like, Omegaverse or something
Butler
like that.
One?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first it's with the lords, I guess, and then the butlers, but it's set in modern times, but like a lot of Omegaverse stuff, it, you know, the people who are alphas are a higher class, you know, a lot of times, and so in this case the higher class have butlers, but the alpha families, butlers are also all alphas, so I don't know how that works, but it's really good, especially Kashikomori Mashita Destiny Answer, which is about the butlers. Very sweet and really good storytelling, I thought too, but yeah, that's really good.
I recently read the what is currently out of the Yaoi armies of Fujoshi trapped in Asume's body, and it's not great. I'm just gonna say it, it's not great. I don't love it. I support anybody who loves it because it's a Western based BL mangaka who's a man, which is Like, that's great. I support it, but...
She made a mind-blown gesture just for the listeners.
I'm going to hear it. Going, shh. That's what that voice.
That's the psh.
Yes. That was an explosion. I didn't love it. It just had some aspects that I wasn't a fan of, but it did remind me of Oyajina, which is a manga where all the girls in this one town, all these high school girls, get turned into old men, like, overnight. They're like salarymen. They all get turned into salarymen, and they just start dating each other. And it's hilarious, and also really sweet, and you get some GL with your BL at the same time, because they're all dating each other, and it's hilarious. So that was similar, and I think it was handled a little bit better. I've also been reading On Doorstep by CTK, which is... It's really, really so good. It's about a pickpocket who gets caught in this older gentleman's store, and the guy finds out that he's an ex-cop, so to make him, like, work off his debt, he works at his bookstore, and it's really sweet. There's a lot of pain and angst and romance, and it's just really so good. Please, everybody read all of CTK stuff. They're amazing.
Okay. Mostly I've been watching Banana Fish, if we're talking BL. But I am waiting on the 11th book of a series, Wyborn and Griffin. If you like Lovecraft or Edgar Allan Poe, you've got to pick up this. It's BL set in Lovecraft world. It is great. There's direct books that are based off of certain ones of his stories. Like, there's one that's based off of Mountains of Madness. There's one that's based off of Arkham Horror. There's ones based off of Innsmouth. I love it, mostly because I like dark things. But the relationship is consensual. They're very faithful to each other. There's no, like, sleeping around. When they fall in love, they fell in love, like, hardcore. They're together still. There's never been any question. It's wonderful. It's not something that I see a lot in long stories, because usually how do you continue a story where they're already together? You know,
I can see your pain of
like
you say.
Yeah. I mean, like, how do you continue a story when they're already together without making one of them unfaithful? But it's less about it's more about their continuing fight against the darkness in the world than actually their pain in their relationship. But I like it. It's very good. It's got some great sex scenes. The audiobooks are good, minus the first two, because the sound quality isn't that great, but the next several are very good, so I would suggest checking that out.
And then I've been dusting off my bookshelf and picked up some of my older manga from high school. I was rereading Yellow, so if you want kind of more lighthearted drug chasing content than Banana Fish, Yellow is a good classic manga where it's still got some of the drama and angst and then a lot of heavier scenes. And then also, this isn't a BL-centered podcast, but I wanted to recommend The Adventure Zone because they do have a canon gay couple, well, multiple ones, actually, and one of the main characters winds up with one, and it's just really cute, and the graphic novel just came out, so it'll get there, and it's just really, really good, and they're a great couple.
Don't have much recommendation, but my new things for now is that the Golden Kami, it's a comic, the anime came out too, but there are many doujinshis comes out that many people are shipping because all men's in there. And that's pretty good, so I'm following right now.
So that's kind of what we've been reading recently. In most of our spare time, actually, we've been working on AFES. I don't know if they've released a schedule yet, but we don't have as many panels as we had for ACON. And so we'd really just kind of like to ask people that if you do want to see us at a convention, we really need you to let the convention know that you want to see us there. Because there's only so much that we can do by emailing them or tweeting at them or trying to get in contact to say, hey, we really want to be a part of your convention. So we really need y'all as our fans to do that. So we're looking in the next kind of year to try to expand. We're a Texas-based group, so we really want to continue to work in Texas, but we're open to stuff in the area. If you go to a big con, if you go to Otakon, if you go to SoccerCon, if you go to AWA, or any of these other cons, and you really think that you'd like to see our content there, we want to travel too. We want to be at these cons because we know that we can provide BL content that is top tier and that is also entertaining. So again, just reach out. Let us know if you're suggesting us for a con. We don't want to be surprised out of the blue, but we do welcome any recommendations or any suggestions to the cons themselves about bringing us. So that's kind of it for this podcast. We got to get to work on our panels for A-Fest, but we hope that we'll see you there. We're going to be doing some of our classic panels, and then we do have a few individual panels on the schedule. So come check it out, and then come check us out for future podcasts.
So speaking today are...
My name is Melissa.
I'm Charles.
I'm Cho.
I'm Izora.
I'm Kit.
I'm Mary.
We are Beale Garden.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.